Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Star Chat alongside the award-winning Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets. Jared Sandler with you, of course, as always. Star Chat brought to you by Blankety Blank. And Blankety Blank's got that big Halloween clearance sale going on. They got some really cool items that didn't get sold for Halloween, so they're on major discount now. And, of course, you got their famous annual second week of November sale kicking off officially tomorrow. Tomorrow is the eighth day of November, and so it, I guess technically, is the second week. And they're famous for this sale, KT. I mean, when you were in Olney, you knew about this. Hell, when I was in California, I knew about the Blankety Blank second week of November sale.
It was an old tradition to really double down, because you go to the Blankety Blank store on the second week of November, and you go and you go, wow, they really brought out the goods for their pre-Thanksgiving. That's kind of what it is. But the post-Halloween clearance sale, I mean, I can't tell you how many years I've gone to Halloween, and I used a costume that I had bought the previous year at the Halloween clearance sale.
It's unbelievable.
It was a tradition like none other.
Unbelievable. Of course, if you want to join Blankety Blank as one of our all-star sponsors, you can just contact anyone with the Entercom sales department. They don't even have to be a part of the DFW market. I'm sure that we could find a way to get it done. So contact your local Entercom salesman or saleswoman, and you can join Blankety Blank as an all-star partner on the Star Chat podcast.
It could be a sales dog. I hear we're bringing dogs into the mix.
That's very true. Yeah. Definitely not cats, though, because cats suck. They're stupid. All right, so we're going to talk about Dez. It appears that it is official. Dez will not only play for the Saints, but he'll play for the Saints against the Cowboys in Arlington in a few weeks. He'll be wearing 88, according to Twitter. We'll talk about that in a second. Of course, we'll get you ready for a big game. Cowboys-Eagles, some might say that the Cowboys' playoff hopes were dashed by Monday night's outcome, but if they weren't, they're hanging on by a thread, and Sunday night is basically a must-win in order for any playoff hopes to remain with a pulse, and we'll take a look around the league. But I guess let's start with Monday night, KT. I'm sometimes surprised by a result when the Cowboys win. Like, for instance, when they beat Jacksonville, especially the way they did it, I was surprised. I'd say it's been a couple years since I've been as surprised by a losing result as I was by Monday night. I thought it was just a matter of how they beat them. You know, would they shock us and put some points on the board because their defense got great field position, or would it be a low-scoring defensive struggle? I'm really surprised that the Cowboys lost. And obviously, a lot's been talked about the turnovers, and if they would have capitalized early on, maybe it's a totally different ball game. But they didn't, and part of the reason why they didn't isn't just some coincidence. It's because their offense has problems scoring points, and maybe this was the wake-up call that I needed, that this just is not a good football team at all.
You know what? I think you make a great point that I haven't really considered. Because you think about your disappointments with this team, and I sit there and think about it's just not beating some good teams. Really, I hadn't had many examples of just getting beat by a bad team. And, hey, the Titans are 4-4 and made the playoffs last year, so I guess they're nothing to sneeze at. But sure felt like you were the better team going into the game, at least. And to let it happen the way it happened is really frustrating. It was as close as I've ever seen this team to quitting. And I'm not saying they did. The defense got torched all game long. And at the end, there was a little bit of give up, but it wasn't quitting. It's real strange because I think about, okay, so you didn't win that big game at Atlanta. Okay, well, the Falcons are pretty good, so I could see that, like last year, or the Chargers on Thanksgiving, frustrated. But getting beat by a team that you should beat at home, that just has a really rotten smell to it. So I think we come away from it going halfway through the season 3-5. We're having major questions about the quarterback. We know the offensive scheme has got to go. And other than that, I sit there and go, what if we beat Philadelphia on Sunday night, Jared? Right back in the mix.
Yeah, no, that's...
Let's go get it.
That's true. I guess what's so discouraging about Monday night's loss is that it just doesn't even seem like it's realistic that they could beat Philadelphia on Monday, on Sunday night. Although, you know, that's...
It doesn't.
That's
right.
That's kind of the beauty of this league. Unless you're the Cleveland Browns of the last few years, not this year, but the last few years, pretty much anything could happen. I mean, hell, the Buffalo Bills absolutely demolished the Minnesota Vikings earlier this year. I mean, if that's not an anything can happen moment to remind you that the Cowboys could beat the Eagles Sunday night, then I don't know what is. It just, I don't know. There's such a bad taste from Monday night's result. Let me ask you this. I'm gonna ask you one of the most generic questions ever, but I feel like maybe it could lead down a good path. Since we're both were surprised by the result, and I'm fair in saying that for you. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I know you thought the Cowboys would win, but you're surprised by the way it all played out too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. What did we learn about the Cowboys Monday night? Or did we learn anything, and maybe we knew this all along, we just weren't wise enough to put it at the fore or something?
Well, man, if you want to go the quarterback path, I mean, does that kind of
sure? Yeah,
isn't that where this starts?
Again,
I mean, the Cowboys outplayed the Titans for 15 minutes, and then Dak's interception ruined everything.
Yeah.
Now,
and that was not a tip ball bad luck interception either. That was a what the heck are you doing interception?
That was have you played football before interception?
Yeah.
You know, that was a head scratcher. That's a year three guy playing in his 40th NFL game. That can't happen. And he locked in on Amari Cooper the entire time. And that was the whole plan. And I sit there and go, man, kind of had that issue with him where he locks in on guys and he doesn't necessarily see everything. Every red flag about Dak came back like, and hey, let's take that big, huge play out of it. Let's take that out of it. He fought his butt off, okay, like he always does. The fumble, I want to cut him a little bit of slack just because all five wide receivers ran 10-yard stop routes. but still, oh, you got to hold on to the ball, dude. Got to hold on to it. What about the play where he's scrambling and it's something in 10 or whatever? I think it might have been first and 10 or second 10, and he's scrambling, and he doesn't throw the ball away, and he runs out of bounds and loses 2 yards.
2 yards, yeah.
I'm like, are you not seeing the field? Do you not know where you're at? My questions about Dak, I mean, look, we have scheme questions, but my questions about Dak are now, dude, we're 40 games into this. Is he mentally just broken for good? Like, I don't know if this is fixable at this point. And, you know, there's protection issues sometimes during the game. There are some times where he had a really good, clean pocket, and he gets happy feet and runs out. The quarterback wasn't good enough. The quarterback wasn't the guy that you talk about extending in that game, okay? And the owner came out and said, we're going to extend him yesterday, which doesn't matter until after next year when this discussion happens. I mean, you know, there's another part of me who says, Kevin, relax. You've got 24 more games to evaluate that. Relax. But, man, that was that's just some stuff that can't happen.
You know, you brought something up about the offense, or you mentioned the offensive line. And I noticed on Twitter some people apologizing for Dak because of the offensive line. I want to make a few points here. First of all, yes, in his rookie year, the offensive line was arguably the best in the NFL, and it made life easy for Dak. And last year, in his first year in which he struggled, he didn't have that. But whether it was this year or last year, it's not like his offensive line is atrocious and one of the worst in the NFL. This is an average offensive line. And if you cannot, with an average offensive line, thrive or make up for their times in which they struggle, because average offensive lines will have times where they thrive and times when they struggle, then that's on you. We can't base this off of, like, you cannot pardon a quarterback for struggling under pressure when they have anything less than an amazing offensive line, especially a guy like Dak. Because having an average offensive line doesn't mean that you're surrounded every time you drop back on either side and you're trapped with nowhere to go. I mean, we see that every once in a while with a quarterback. There's nothing they could do because they are just swallowed up by three defensive players, maybe four, whatever. That's not, It's not like the offensive line on a screen pass where they let everyone through and Dak's got, you know, nothing to do unless he just flips the ball to the running back out in the flat on the screen. Yeah. Dak's mobile. Part of, you know, we talk about how running Dak seems like the best way to give this offense success, but Dak's got to be able to deal with some of this pressure with his mobility and with his athleticism, and sometimes he does an okay job with that, but I guess my point is, I don't think that Dak deserves this mulligan or this free pass because he has an average offensive line. That's how we should base it. We should base these things if he's got average this, if he's got average that around him, how good is he? Because the reality is, for a quarterback, a guy who you expect to be a part of your team for 10 years, if you get the right one, and if the Cowboys plan on extending Dak, it will be around 10 years, you are going to have parts of your team that at points throughout those 10 years are great. And at points throughout those 10 years aren't. Look at, you know, I'll use the Packers as an example. With Aaron Rodgers, he's had times where his receiving core has been unreal. He's had times where his receiving core has been below average. He's had times where he's had a really good running back. That year of Eddie Lacy, that rookie year, he was really good. Aaron Rodgers has also dealt with bad running backs. He's dealt with pretty good offensive lines. And for most of his career, he's dealt with awful offensive lines. And not to compare Dak to Aaron Rodgers, I'm more just presenting that situation. But over the course of a decade, if in fact Dak is going to be your quarterback for that long, and I think you and I agree that, well, it probably isn't looking that way, but you're evaluating it based on that, you're going to have times where this part is great, this part isn't, and you got to be able to succeed with average talent at certain spots.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. My favorite thing that you said about all that is especially Dak, because I guess let's keep Mahomes and Rodgers and Russell Wilson out of this, and let's go more household names here. But when Alex Smith gets out of the pocket, eluding rush, and gets outside the number or outside the hash, and is going to make a play on the perimeter, you kind of go, "Oh crap, he's about to get us!" Right? Or Mariota even, right? The other night, when Dak eludes a rush and gets outside. Do you ever feel threatened?
No, not at all.
I don't either. I feel panic.
Yeah, because you don't trust what he's going to do. Yeah,
and we're thinking run first, right?
Yeah,
which I'm okay with to an extent with him because I feel like he needs to run more. But I don't feel some like threat that he's about to go make it happen. I always think putting yourself in the other team's shoes is the best way to go when thinking about things. You know, thinking about your own problems. Just go, how would they feel about it? Man, that's the Titans are going, he ain't going to throw it to anyone right here. He's rolling out. He's not going to burn us. And Dak made a couple of great plays the other night. You know, I'm not going to – he does that every week. He just makes a few great plays. And you're down 21-14 or 28-14 and need a quick score. You shouldn't feel like – I don't feel like we're going to be able to get a score real quick here. You don't feel that at all.
No. Did
and
you?
That's everyone. It's Linehan and everyone. But you're right. No more mulligans for Dak on the offensive line.
Hey,
the only thing I would say is Dak is a minimum wage player, and the offensive line is where all of your money is tied.
Sure, that's fair.
Tied up in.
The expectation for the offensive line from a financial standpoint is that they're better than average. There's no doubt
about
that.
But you know what? That's on us for creating the narrative that they're the best offensive line ever. Right now, they're not. Right now, they're not a top 10 offensive line in this league.
All right.
And it's just how it is right now.
All right, you want to talk Dez quickly?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so the big story in the NFL, not just locally, is Dez Bryant going to the Saints. What's it, November 29th? The Saints come to town. Dez will be on the opposing side, probably in the Saints' home uniforms, because that's typically what happens. The Cowboys wear their whites, so I imagine Dez will be in the black jersey of the Saints with the gold trim, wearing 88. And I think a lot of people are probably rooting for Dez to score a touchdown just for the drama. That would be really, really cool. And by the way, this will
be... A lot of people already assume that we've lost that game, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And the season will be over by then, by my estimation, at least as far as playoffs. So I think people probably be rooting for the Cowboys to lose. It's a Thursday night game, so this is a primetime game. Should be a lot of fun. I guess your thoughts on Dez to the Saints. Mine are that if this guy's trying to make some money this offseason, that's a hell of a place to go because that's an offense that is set up for receivers to succeed.
Yeah, you know, my first thought, I was sitting there going, well, how's he going to fit in here? And I went and pulled up the receptions for the offense. Michael Thomas has 70, all right? So there's your wide receiver one, of course. Kamara has 50 catches, and he's your number two option in terms of pass catching. Then it's Benjamin Watson. You know the wide receivers. Here are the catches. After Michael Thomas at 70, their wide receiver catches are Ted Ginn Jr. with 12, Traquan Smith with 12, and also Cam Meredith, and I think he was under 10 catches. So the wide receiver, too, might be something that they could use. Now, Dez learning a playbook will be a problem. Dez getting in and getting those plays will be quick. They're going to have package plays for Dez. But Dez could easily can be their second most impactful wide receiver right off the jump. And I'm not sure there's too many other teams in the league besides Dallas that you could say that about.
And I don't want to diminish the importance of route running because route running is significant, and Michael Thomas is a great route runner. But it does seem like over the course of the last, I don't know, 5 years for the Saints, there have been guys who have had great success there who haven't necessarily been great route runners. And I just think that's a system where it – and this is not at all to take anything away from Drew Brees, who's outstanding. It just seems like a lot of times he's throwing to guys who are wide open because – they just scheme things so well there. And I think that works to Dez's advantage. He's not necessarily going to have to run pristine routes to get open. Whereas, you know, it seemed like with the Cowboys, if he was just kind of running, an average route, it was going to be tough because he wasn't going to be able to get the separation. And we know what this quarterback does and doesn't do. We already talked about it. I just think it's a good spot for Dez. And hell, that's a team that's going to get a lot of attention over the next eight games of the year, however many they have left, because it's a really good team that's a Super Bowl contender, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's something to it. You know, I don't know. Dez's plan, I think, was to always play for the Cowboys. I don't think he ever thought, you know, he'd go anywhere else. I think he might have thought the Cowboys were going to call him back and be like, hey, come on, we miss you. But, man, if there's it's a place in terms of location, you know, close to home, Sean Payton will find a way to make that work. I think it's a great pickup by the Saints. But I think that win with the Rams is like, you know what? Let's go get it. Let's go right now and get it. It's right here for us. And you know what? If Dez reverts to his old ways and is a problem, maybe you just get rid of him. It's not that big of a deal. Right. I don't gonna give him a ton of money. So I love the move by the Saints. I love the move by Dez. I think it's going to work out perfectly for New Orleans.
KT, let's say the Cowboys make a coaching change, head coaching change at the end of the year. I would imagine that would mean a new offensive coordinator as well. What percentage chance would you give Dez Bryant to returning?
Stevens is making the call. I don't think it's high. I think it's like 15% or less.
Got it. No, I'm right there with you. All right. You want to get ready for the Eagles?
Can't wait.
All right, so Eagles-Cowboys Sunday night. Cowboys, another primetime game. Should be fun again. I hate to overuse the must-win game thing. I think we kind of labeled last week's game as not a must-win from the standpoint of, you know, if they don't win, the season's over. But it's just a game you can't afford to lose at home against a team that you're either just as good as or maybe a little bit better. But the Titans got the win. This week, Sunday night in Philadelphia, if you drop to 3-6, then it's just not happening, especially when you look at the Cowboys' schedule. And a lot of people made note of this Sunday night or Monday night, excuse me, the Cowboys' next five games. You've got the Eagles, the Falcons, the Redskins, the Saints, and the Eagles again, the Eagles and Falcons on the road. So that's a big one.
That's why I thought stealing one against Houston and Washington earlier was important,
yeah.
You know, and then what happened with the Titans just kind of might be the knockout blow. But again, I look at it and go, man, you get that win over Philadelphia, you put yourself in a situation where all you'd need to do is really squeeze one out of those next four games. And I know that sounds crazy, but the way the Cowboys end the season with their schedule, you know, there's the Colts and the Buccaneers and things like that. You have some games that you could easily win. So you got to finish the fight here. You get a win, you're back in it. taking a look at the Eagles. They're an Eagles team that hasn't clicked on all cylinders yet, but you kind of feel them starting to flow that way. There are injuries, though. Their entire secondary beaten up, man. Sidney Jones has been hurt, and Jalen Mills might not play. If Jalen Mills doesn't play, three of their starting four or five secondary guys are going to be out. So that's something to keep an eye on. You'll have some secondary. Maybe Cooper can get open or get loose, and maybe the passing game can get going. The Eagles have done a good job stopping the run, but no team has ran the ball. I mean, no team has had more run plays come at them than the Eagles. Teams just don't run against them. They throw at them because their secondary sucks. So taking a look at defense, to me the best player on defense is still Fletcher Cox, but then Jordan Hicks, man, he's turned out to be a really good player, and they will get sacks. So we're looking at Connor Williams being out, and I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do at guard, whether they put Redmond in the mix or Xavier Suafalo or whatever happens. That's going to be a little bit of a problem, and I know people have been low on Connor Williams all year. We'll wait till his backup plays, you know, and we'll see what happens. But they've got Michael Bennett's been getting sacks. Chris Long's been finding a way to get sacks. Jordan Hicks gets sacks from the linebacker position. We know Fletcher Cox is a dominating player. You know, and then on the offensive side, real quickly, Jared, I know we just talked about Cox. Johnson's going to be out, the tackle. Peters has been hurt a little bit. And, you know, their leading guy getting carries is Smallwood.
Hold on, timeout. You just rattled off four names consecutively. Cox, Johnson, Peters, Smallwood.
Yeah.
I think that's a hell of a quartet, if you catch my drift. That's the real measuring stick. Cox, Johnson, Peters, and Smallwood.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
No. Just rattling off some facts. Some girthy facts.
I mean, and maybe in some cases not as girthy with, like, you know, Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah, and, you know, Smallwood's a guy, you know, if you get down into a, you know, short, third and short, or fourth and inches, you know, or third and inches. Let's be honest, Smallwood's coming off the field. They've got Corey Clement, who they like a lot, and they'll work him into the mix. Don't have to worry about Sproles anymore, thank God.
Well, no, I think he might play.
Oh, really?
I think Sproles might play, but I think what you're saying, though, is that, you know, with Smallwood, some positions work better than others.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or some, like, spots in the game.
You're going to want to go to a bigger back.
Yeah.
In those shorts scenarios, you know, those convertible down situations.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know, I'm curious to see. To me, I'm super nervous about Golden Tate.
Yeah, already put up 8 for 132 in two scores while with the Lions against the Cowboys earlier this year. And he always, it seems like, torches the Cowboys.
He's going, what? I get to play the Cowboys two more times? This is awesome.
Yeah, he loves it. Here comes a Pro Bowl season from Golden Tate.
Yeah, to me, more than anything, though, Jared, the Eagles are a better team. I know that. We all know that. I sort of feel that way. You can steal a game in the NFL, and that's what I'm kind of relying on. But to me, the big difference here, Cowboys coming off a tumultuous short week, Eagles have been chilling for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, they went to London, got the bye. You know, we'll see how Peterson, if he gets in, there could be a sluggish factor, I guess, you know, look at it that way. But, and I think short week versus a team coming off a bye is a death march. And that's kind of how I see this game playing out Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't, I think you did a great job just kind of running through the Eagles' strengths, weaknesses, offense, defense. So I'm not going to belabor that. I'm just going to come out and take it to the next step and say I think the Eagles win this game rather easily. You know, yeah. Right now the line is for this week, it is at, I had it and then I just lost it. I'm going to stall.
Is it 6?
Is that what it's, it is? My Lord, I had it and then I just totally blew it. It is 6.5. Eagles favored by 6.5. I would very comfortably take the Eagles to cover.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree.
So
I hope the Cowboys can make it work and get things going on the ground and all the stuff that needs to happen. you feel better about the offense a little bit with Amari Cooper because he did bring an extra dynamic to the field. But, you know, I think the Eagles are trending upwards and the Cowboys are sagging downwards.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go around the league quickly. This is Star Chat brought to you by Blankety Blank, that big two-time sale. You got the two-for-one sale, the Halloween clearance and the second week of November sale at Blankety Blank. And they're pumped about tomorrow night's game. Not only is it the beginning of their second week of November sale, it kicks off tomorrow, November 8th, but we got Pittsburgh, Carolina, maybe the best or second-best Thursday night football game we've had this year. Pittsburgh at home. These are two Super Bowl contending teams. Both have just two losses. The Steelers, 5 wins and a tie. The Panthers with 6 wins. Right now, the Steelers are favored by 4 points. And I think what's really impressed me of late here, KT, is that Pittsburgh's defense has been much better. It's not just been all about the offense.
You got that to round into form pretty quickly. You watch them play, and it's hard to ignore how much you see T.J. Watt fly around. My goodness, man. He is really good. I'll ask you this quick question that Ben Rogers brought up to me. Who do you think will be the better tandem? The Watts, TJ and JJ, or the Boses, Nick and Joey?
Oh, well, they both have the injury factor. Like all four of them, right?
All four of them.
All four of them are pretty. I'll just take the Watts simply because it's all or both are known commodities at this point. TJ's already really good and could get better. And JJ, you know, the only reason why maybe we're not considering him the best defensive player in the last 10 years is because of injuries. But when this guy's healthy, I don't know that there's been anyone better defensively on the field.
I think that's fair. I think it's going to be a good game, though. You're right. Thursday night this week and the next week Thursday night's Packers Seahawks.
Hey, well, what's your answer to that question?
I think it's Watts, just because right now they have the upper hand. JJ has done so much. But, you know, from a talent standpoint, it's probably the Boses.
That's fair.
That's definitely fair. But I think the Watts is the answer there, yeah.
All right.
That's a great game, though.
Yeah, so who do you think? I mean, we're not going to go pick every game necessarily. Who do you think wins that? I kind of want to go with the surprise pick and take the Panthers, but it's so tough to win on the road on Thursday night.
I think it's Pittsburgh, and I feel the Panthers at some point will come down to us a little bit. Not much. I still think they're the clear third best team in the NFC.
Yeah,
I think they will come back down to earth just a touch.
I'll say this: I'll go with Pittsburgh as well. It's very tough for me to pick a road team on a Thursday night. It is worth noting, though, that Cam Newton this year has been better so far than his MVP season. He's been really, really, really good for them.
North Turner should get a lot of credit. That offense looks wild now.
And an old guy with a creative offense. Who knew? Chicago, Detroit, you know, a few weeks ago this looked like a better game because Detroit seemed like maybe they're in the mix. That doesn't look to be the case anymore. Chicago is pretty good, though. They're 5-3, leading the NFC North.
Do you see Chicago kind of coming back down to earth a little bit, though?
You know, I think they're a 10-win team, so I don't know if, you know, they're 5-3 through 8. I kind of see them doing the same their second 8 games. I know that the weird thing is that of all the question marks on their team, the biggest might be their quarterback, just because the impact that a quarterback can have on the game. But I just think that their defense and the tools he has around him offensively, you know, I really like the way they've used Trey Burton, and Allen Robinson's been banged up, but it seems like Allen Robinson at times is his wubby. You know, when he doesn't want to risk making bad throws beyond 10 yards, he really takes advantage of Allen Robinson. And what's weird is that it doesn't seem like they've really gotten a sense of how to fit Jordan Howard into the mix. Tariq Cohen has almost been more impactful for them than Jordan Howard, but I think that they'll be all right. I think they're a 10-win team. I really do.
Howard's going to turn into goal line back guy.
Yeah.
So, but I think we got a tight game there on Sunday, so that'll be good.
New Orleans, Cincinnati at home. New Orleans historically has maybe struggled when they've gone outdoors, but I don't know if Cincinnati poses a big enough threat, but could be a good game.
Cincinnati's been dangerous offensively. The A.J. Green injury, though.
Yeah, that's
keeps
tough.
This one from kind of – and Tyler Boyd's been great, but, man, they need someone else to step up if they're going to keep up with the Saints.
Cleveland at home. Atlanta's obviously really turned the ship around. They're back at 500 with their win last week. We both We both saw that coming. That was almost too easy a pick, Atlanta on the road against the Redskins. They got the win there relatively easily. I still find this Cleveland team enjoyable to watch, and especially now they're in the post-Hugh Jackson era. Man, some of the stories that have come out about Hugh Jackson since the firing have been really interesting, that he's, you know, a me guy, and he was so fake on Hard Knocks and whatnot. They've really no one's really held back in bashing Hugh Jackson.
Boy, that's three toxic personalities of him, Todd Haley, and Greg Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, man, that's not going to work. It's just kind of a bad plan. Atlanta will be 5-4. The Cowboys will play them in 2 weeks. They have Eagles. Yeah, and then at Atlanta. Whoa.
Indy and Jacksonville, they're both interesting. I guess we can move forward on that one. Kansas City hosting Arizona. This one opened at a 17-point spread in favor of KC. It's now down to 16.5. The big question, KT, do the Chiefs cover?
I think they do.
I just don't know how Arizona scores points.
Arizona's so bad right now. And it's not anyone's fault. They just have a bad team. It's just kind of what happens over time. I think the Chiefs cover. The Chiefs score at such ease. Although, this might be one of those games where the Chiefs kind of, all right, what's some of the things that we got in our playbook there that we can kind of
take our foot off the
back
ball
a week, you know? And maybe there's garbage time points from Arizona. The Chiefs don't necessarily play good defense at all. So, yeah, I think they cover.
You got Buffalo and the Jets in the most irrelevant game of the week. Tampa Bay hosting Washington. Washington still in first place in the NFC East with the loss. This is a game they got to go and win, although they are getting they're getting 3 points on the road against Tampa.
It's a losable game, man. The Bucs will put up points.
Tennessee, New England. Tennessee at home there. Don't see Tennessee winning. New England's giving 6.5. I feel like New England covers.
Short week on the road, then you're going to go play New England. That's a loss.
Oakland at home against the Chargers. Obviously, Oakland sucks. The Chargers are really good. That should be an easy one for the Chargers. They're 10-point favorites. The Rams at home against Seattle. Again, Rams 10-point favorites there. You got Green Bay and Miami. Miami's 5-4, and they're in second place. I don't want to say they're alive in the AFC East. They're not going to win it, but their playoff hopes are still alive, and this is similar to the Cowboys-Titans games, KT. I think this is a must-win for Green Bay. It doesn't end their season if they lose, but with the schedule they've got and the road they've got to climb, you can't lose to Miami at home.
Yeah, and you're trying to keep up with the Vikings and the Bears. I think the Packers do get the win. Weather's going to be in the 30s, and Miami, you know, historically doesn't play well on the road once you get into cold weather season, November and December. Is Tannehill going to be back for this, or is it Osweiler?
You know, I'm not positive.
I'm asking questions that I'm not sure about.
I think it's still Brock, but I could be wrong.
Definitely a losable game, though, for sure, man. And the Packers, again, making moves yesterday. Geronimo Allison to the IR, so their number two wide receiver is now Valdez Scantling.
Yeah. Who's looked pretty good, by the way.
He's been great, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they cut their safety, Jermaine Whitehead, who went with the open with the slap to a Patriots player last week. But yeah, you know, I look at the Packers, I say, man, they had a really good chance to beat the Rams and blew it. They had a really good chance to beat the Patriots and blew it. And they tied the Vikings in the game that they won on a kick, and then Zimmer froze the kicker and they had to kick it again and he missed it. Like, they did beat the Vikings technically, and then it ends up as a tie. Like, I still think the Packers are pretty good. Their season's circling the drain right now. So that'll be an important late afternoon game on Sunday.
And they've run into tough luck. You can make a case that they've lost two games with controversial penalty calls. You know, I thought the Sunday night crew did a good job detailing why that penalty on the punt on Sunday night should have just been a running into the kicker and not a roughing that changed the game for sure.
Yeah.
All right, the KT fun game of the week, I'm sure, is Monday night, the Giants and the 49ers. Again, that actually rivals the Jets and the Bills for the most irrelevant game. The beauty of the Jets and the Bills, it's a 12 o'clock game, so you don't really have to watch it. What sucks about the Giants and the Niners, it's the Monday night game, so you don't really have another choice if you want your football.
Nick Mullins, bro.
Yeah, the Nick Mullins show. That's what it's all about.
It's on. Let's go.
Is the fun game the Thursday night game, Pittsburgh, Carolina?
It is.
Okay. What's your measuring stick game?
my measuring stick game of the week, of course, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, I'm going to put this on Washington.
Yeah.
Washington gets the measuring stick game of the week. You got to go beat Tampa Bay. Prove that you're a first-place team. Washington, I dare you.
KT, it's been real, homie.
Jared.
We'll do this next week.
I bet we will.
All right, there you go. That's Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets. Jared Sandler, this is Star Chat. Thanks for joining.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.